I definitely have hobbit feet. There's not a whole lot of question there. My feet are scaly and crackly and dry, and I don't care. Diz Runs Radio, episode 511, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, don't look now, but 2017 is on the way out. This is coming out just a couple of days before we turn the calendars over to the new year, 2018. But, you know, the end of the year means it's also the end of a month, which means it's also time for a little Q&A, right? A little listener Q&A, a monthly tradition here on Diz Runs Radio for those that are new to the show. Thanks for joining us today. It's something that we do at the end of every month. I put a post up in our little private Facebook group for folks that listen to the show, and you're welcome to join the group. Always loving having more folks around. Dizruns.com/Facebook will take you right there. Or if you're on the Facebooks and you're scrolling around listening to this, just search for Diz Runs. Two words, Diz Runs. There's a group and a page. You're welcome to like the page, but definitely go and join the group. Click, request to join. We'll let you in. And if you prove yourself to be, kind of a spammy douche, we'll boot you out. But there's only been one or two folks that have gotten the boot treatment. Everybody else, you know, we come in, we have fun, joke around, crack a few jokes, post some memes, and, just talk about running on a regular basis. And if that sounds like something you'd enjoy doing, we'd love to have you. And then, like I said, somewhere in the middle of each month, you be on the lookout. Post up, or I'll share a post saying, hey, what do you want me to talk about? What questions do you have that I can answer? And then here at the end of each month, I do a little Q&A episode where all we do, there's no guests, there's no interviews. I'm just taking your questions, reading them out loud, and offering an answer. And with a little bit of luck, every once in a while, the answers actually might hopefully be helpful. At least I hope that they're helpful. Sometimes, maybe not, but, we usually get a nice array of questions, and we do today as well, from running to, life and everything in between, which is kind of a theme of this show is running is what brings us all together, but, we're well-rounded as well. So we like to talk about other things as well. And for those that have been around for a while, you know, the routine, you know how this works. So without any further ado, let's dive in, shall we? The first question today, let me pull things up here on the old computer, comes from Mr. Trevor Harris, who asks, how is it possible that my sore hip is being caused by a hamstring injury from 2 years ago that hasn't healed properly? Trevor, it's a great question, and something that I think sometimes, I'll be honest, and I don't mean to make this sound in a way that's negative or is a put down or anything like that. But to me, it's so obvious from my background in sports medicine, in athletic training, that when we have an injury, something serious, something not serious, whatever, our bodies start to compensate a little bit. We do things a little bit differently. So what I'm going to assume is probably the case with you is that when you had your hamstring injury, I don't know obviously exactly what it is, what it was, the severity of it or whatever, but if it didn't quite heal properly, if it wasn't back to 100%, the way that you run has changed a little bit since before the injury. Maybe not something dramatic. Maybe you haven't gone from a heel striker to a midfoot striker or vice versa or whatever, but there's something in the scar tissue, in the lack of mobility, in the weakness, the lack of strength, that as a result of that original injury, the hamstring injury from 2 years ago, has probably changed your form, changed your gait, changed how you run just a little bit. It may be something dramatic, but it may be something that's almost imperceptible. But our bodies are doing stuff all the time that we are unaware of, just little tweaks, little changes, little bounces. And anytime we have an injury, whether it's a hamstring injury, whether it's a plantar fasciitis, whether it's a IT band, whatever, any type of little aches and pains and injuries that crop up, if we don't give them the proper attention, the proper time to recover and heal, our bodies make changes so that we don't maybe aggravate that injury or so that we don't cause pain when we're doing the things that we do. that may sound like a good thing, but on the flip side is now all of a sudden there's stress, there's strain, there's pressure on other parts of our body, other parts of our anatomy that aren't used to having that extra pressure and stress and strain from running placed upon them. So my very, I don't want to say guess, but my strong assumption here, Trevor, is that the injury from 2 years ago has changed how you run a little bit. Maybe dramatically, maybe something that you don't even notice is different, but that's causing some irritation, some inflammation, some type of something that is what is the cause or what is the issue with your hip now. Again, there's a dozen different variables that could be at play or, you know, things that could be the problem now. But hamstring and hip, those things are definitely related. They're obviously close enough in the anatomy that they're related. But even if they're not that close, you change one thing a little bit, our bodies adapt and adjust, and it very easily and oftentimes does cause an irritation somewhere else in the body. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's exactly what's going on with you, Trevor. So what you probably need to do, obviously address the hip, whatever the issue is there. But maybe need to be addressing the hamstring issue a little bit as well, doing some foam rolling or some massage to make sure that any scar tissue gets loosened up, do some stretching, strengthening, whatever the deficit is now in the hamstring from 2 years ago, you want to work to correct that while also working to correct whatever's going on in your hip. And for everybody else listening, just a great reminder, learn from Trevor's issue now that if you have something that's causing you problems, aches, pains, whatever, don't just ignore it. Don't just try to run through it. And when it starts like it's feeling better, don't stop whatever rehabilitation or exercises or stretching or whatever is leading to the improvement. Continue to do that. Continue to be on a maintenance routine so that those little issues don't start cropping up somewhere else because you're favoring something or adapting and adjusting just a little bit to favor whatever injury or ache or pain or little niggle that you're dealing with is, you know, so that you're not overcompensating and causing another problem to crop up, which happens. It happens every sport. I've seen it dozens of times in my previous life as an athletic trainer. I've seen it in myself dealing with my own injuries as a runner. I've seen it in my clients. Obviously, Trevor's dealing with it. So learn from all of our examples and make sure that you take care of those little issues completely instead of just, you know, getting, all right, well, we're good enough, we're back at it, and I don't have to worry about it anymore because it's probably going to crop up again, and it could easily take a couple of years like it has for Trevor. So, Trevor, I hope you're feeling better soon. I hope that 2018 gets off to a good start for you, and you can be pain-free soon and stay that way throughout the rest of the year. Next question comes from Ellen, who is the darling woman that does my show notes now. So if you guys ever go and check out the show notes for the interviews, Ellen is in charge. And she puts in some serious work to get those done. So make sure you're checking out the show notes for any interviews that we do. Ellen's in charge of the show notes for those. So check those out. And her question today is, what podcast do you listen to? boy, how long do we have for this episode? Because the list is long and distinguished. A little shout out there to Goose. But I've probably listened to, I haven't tallied them up lately, but I'm probably subscribed to about 40 different podcasts. Some obviously I'm more excited about and are higher on the priority list than others. And really, it's across all genres. I don't listen to very many running podcasts. I used to be pretty regular and consistent about listening to Heartland Running. But since Steven's passing, it's been tough for me to dial that one up. I would like to get back to it. I would love to listen to Andy and Crystal and Chandler now is filling in for his dad. But that one's still a little sore, a little soft spot. I'm still subscribed to it. I still download it. I have, I don't know, 10 episodes or so on the phone. I just need to get back to it. But really, that's about the only running podcast that I regularly listen to. I'm subscribed to a couple of others, but I don't maybe make those as much of a priority. For me, most of the podcasts that I regularly listen to, really there's probably three that are pretty high on the list that I never really let too many episodes pile up, if any, if I'm not even staying up to date, current with them. And one of them is just a 10-minuter. It comes out Monday through Friday. It's called Up Next. It's an NPR kind of news recap of the last day, kind of what are all the news stories, what's going on in the world. Kind of use that to kind of stay abreast with all things related to just the world in general. Obviously, politics, there's a lot of stuff about politics, but just, you know, North Korea stuff. There's been a lot about that. China, trade, a whole lot of things. I mean, it's just 10 minutes a day. It's kind of like a shortened, condensed version of the NPR morning news shows. And so I listen to that pretty much every day. Usually, right about it hits my feed at 6 o'clock. I usually listen to it somewhere between 6 and 8 o'clock in the morning. Just update what's going on, what's up with the world, and I listen to everything on 2x. So it's a 10 to 12 minute show. I'm 5 minutes and I'm caught up with the news of the day. Another favorite of mine that's always the first podcast listened to on a Monday morning run is the Drunk Ex-Pastors. I've talked about that one before. Depending on where you are, religious, spiritual type of spectrum, it may be something that you can't handle because it's definitely not the most conservative Christian type of podcast as you would probably guess from the title, The Drunk Ex-Pastors. But it's two guys that used to be pastors in evangelical churches. One of them is now an agnostic. The other co-host is went from an evangelical church to being a pastor at a Protestant church. I can't remember the denomination right offhand right now, and is now just a Catholic, just a Catholic. But he's out of the pulpit. He's not preaching anymore. He's a member of the Catholic persuasion now. And they talk about all kinds of things: world events, current events, obviously some Christian religious type of events and philosophies. And it's loosey goosey. I think it's a lot of fun, and it's honestly something that challenges me from a religious perspective as well. So, it's a podcast I enjoy. I laugh a lot. I think a lot. I'm definitely a big fan of that. Comes out every, Sunday night, Monday morning, whatever you want to call it. I don't know exact hour, but new episodes are usually every Monday once a week. So I always listen to that one on my Monday runs. And then another podcast I listen to regularly is called The Solopreneur Hour. It's a business entrepreneur type of show. Typically interviews, but they also do some Q&A things, which are a lot of fun. And it's a show that I've kind of modeled my show after in a lot of ways, trying to be very conversational, fun, go off on a tangent, not stay tight to the script. And from a businessy entrepreneurial sense, that's what that show does. So, those are the three probably that are the most, readily or most often listened to on my phone. As soon as those episodes pop in, I listen to them. There's a handful of other NPR shows. I like Wait, Don't Tell Me. Planet Money is a good one. But like I said, I have about 40. So I'm always listening to podcasts. I'm starting to get into audiobooks a little bit more. So I'm starting to actually cut down on the number of podcasts I listen to just a little bit. But those are three. Up next, Drunk Ex-Pastors and Solopreneur Hour. If you're looking for news, kind of funny/... religious, and then kind of business entrepreneurial. Those are three suggestions. And if there's a different genre that you're interested in, there's a pretty decent chance that I might listen to something in that area, Ellen or anyone else. So feel free to ask for other suggestions, and I'll see what I can do to I'll scroll through my feed and see what I have that I listen to that might be of interest to you based on whatever other feedback you have. But that's my list. Always changing, always evolving. So, feel free somewhere down the line, 6 months, ask me again. You very well likely will get at least one or two additions or subtractions or changes to the current list that I have. Next question comes from Chris, and he asks, what are some New Year's resolutions that you'd like the runners you coach to make, or just runners in general? And then Heather chimed in as a reply to that comment that said maybe or not make. So I'm going to kind of answer that question all in one. For Heather's kind of addition to the question, or not make would probably just be the opposite, the opposite of these resolutions that I think most runners should make, that I'm working on making, that I'm trying to convince my clients to make. And I would encourage you to consider making these five resolutions for the new year as well. Whether you believe in resolutions or not, whether you think it's just a bunch of crap and blah, 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 blah. These are just good principles that we would all as runners do well. At least I think, from my perspective, how I work as a coach, these are some things that I think we would all be wise to adhere to. Five good New Year's resolutions for runners. One, slow down. I've talked about this for a couple of years now with the 80-20 thing, and now I'm getting more into just heart rate training in general, which is even less 20 and more 80 than the 80-20 philosophy, but just slow down more. we push ourselves too hard. We go too fast for our easy days to get the easy benefits, but not fast enough to get the benefits of going hard. And it just wears out our body. So slow down, slow down, slow down. I think that's a good resolution for every runner this year. Your easy days, keep them easy. And that doesn't, and when I say slow down, obviously that it's all relative, but if you're running at a consistent amount of effort, which you can probably best measure through heart rate, but there's other ways to measure it as well, you'll get faster while your effort stays the same. And that's what we're trying to aim for here, is that your easy pace continues to get faster, but you're not pushing harder. So that's why we need to slow down, run more easy miles. And then on race day, boy, you can hammer it. So that's a good resolution, I think, for everybody. Slow down this year. Number two, do a better job of listening to your body. You know, kind of tying back up to Trevor's question, but when you've got something that's not right, take care of it. Take a day off if you're tired, if you're fatigued, if you're whatever it is. You know, if your body's not feeling right, if you're not feeling right, if you're just dragging, don't force yourself to go for a runner, and certainly don't force yourself to go for a hard workout. You know, I know who I'm talking to here, and I know that us as runners, we're not always the smartest about being like, yeah, I should probably just take today off. But if it's supposed to be a hard day and you're not feeling it, you're tired, maybe you're stressed, whatever, just run easy. Or even better, just take the day off. But we need to all get better at listening to our body, listen to the little aches and pains and niggles, and address those before they become more serious, and realize and listen to it when our body's telling us to take a break, to take a break. We're not going to lose our fitness. You know, one or two days isn't going to hurt anything, and it very well may prevent something more serious from happening. So listen to your body more in 2018. Number three on my list of resolutions for runners, worry about that which you can control. There's some things in running that are within our control, and there's some things that aren't. Our effort is within our control. The race day conditions are not. You know, how well you stick to your plan is within your control. What place you finish in your age group or overall is not. You know, so you might have a goal of you know, coming in, you know, placing in your age group in the local, you know, competitively local 5K. But if a couple people from out of town come in, some ringers come in, or people are visiting family and they decide to jump in the race, and all of a sudden you got a chance for third, maybe second or third, and there's a handful of people that you're not familiar with, or somebody ages up or whatever, you're in a different age group, and all of a sudden you finish eighth in your age group, you can't call that a bad day if you still ran a good race. There's just people that are faster in front of you. You can't control that. So stop worrying about those things. Stop worrying about the weather. Stop worrying about the elevation gains on a race course, you know? Look at that stuff, learn about it beforehand and train accordingly. You know, you can control, do you always run just flat training ground? You know, or can you find some hills? Can you get out on the trails? Can you do some things to mix it up and challenge yourself differently in your training so that on race day things will go better? But stop worrying about all the things that are out of our control. There's so many of those things that we can't control that we worry about. We worry about our finishing time on race day, but never mind the fact that it's super hot, or that there was a GI issue, or that you know, the too many runners got in your way and caused a problem. I mean, all those things we can't control. We can control our effort, we can control our attitude, things like that. Worry more about that. Worry less about the things that you cannot control, and you'll be better off in the new year as well. Number four, I've got five on the list of good resolutions. I probably could have had 30, but I stopped at five. Number four on the list, I feel like this is kind of a Friday five, right? I mean, this episode's coming out on a Friday, which normally Q&As don't do that, but it's the end of the year, so we make a special occasion. I feel like this could have been a Friday five tonight as well. Anyway, I digress. Number four on the list, do the little things. In 2018, every runner should resolve to do the little things next year. Take care of your body. Do the strength training. Do the stretching. Do the proper warm-ups. You know, I've become a big believer and a big fan of the lunge matrix and the leg swings. Do those types of things to get our bodies prepared for running. Do the stretches. Do the strength training. Take care of our bodies. Yoga, Pilates, all of the things. Foam rolling. Get a massage. Just take care of your body. Eat well. Sleep well. All of those things are going to improve and impact your running every bit as much as the actual training that you do, the running training that you do. So don't neglect the little things. Take care of those. Resolve to do those in 2018. And number five on the list for this short list, you might think it's long, but it's a short list of resolutions that I'd love to see my clients do, maybe see myself do, and just runners in general really resolve to do in 2018, is to remember the rest day and keep it holy. We need days off. We need days off. I know there's some run streakers that listen to the show, and they shake their fist at me every time that I talk about rest days, and I shake my fist right back at them for ignoring the rest day. But for most runners, if you feel like streaking works for you, whatever. We'll get into that a little bit more with another question a little bit later. But for the most part, 99.9% of runners having those rest days, taking some time off, allowing your body to recover. That's every bit as important to your growth as a runner as you're running. So if you're not taking those rest days, if you're doing hours of yard work and housework and physical labor around your house on your rest day and think that you're resting, you're not. We need to have plenty of rest. We need to get good sleep at night and have those, you know, that one day off, 2 days off per week where we don't do a lot of physically demanding stuff so that our bodies can regenerate and recover and get stronger so that we can get faster, be more resilient, run longer. All of the things that we have goals towards as running, rest days are every bit as important. So remember the rest day, keep it holy. Those are my five resolutions for 2018 that I would love to see my clients make, to see runners make. And again, to kind of piggyback off of Heather's question, or just to deflect off of it, the resolutions I'd love to see runners not make, all of those things, the opposites of all of those things. You know, I'm going to run faster. No, slow down. I'm going to push through and not give up. No, listen to your body. I'm going to worry about finishing times and things like that. No, you can't control that. So worry more about what you can control. I'm going to just run this year. Nope. You need to do the little things. And I'm going to streak this year. No, take a rest day. So those are my list of running resolutions. If you have other ones, Chris or anyone else, I would love to know what they are. What are your running resolutions for the new year, for 2018? Let me know. You know the places, at DizRuns on the Twitter. Show notes, DizRuns.com/511. And you can always email me as well. Always love to hear that feedback and find out what's going on in y'all's world and what you're doing. And maybe learn a little something along the way. Next question comes from Heath. He says, what is your go-to sprint or HIIT, the high intensity interval training workout for your clients? I'm going to dodge the question, I think, a little bit, Heath, because to me, that question is begging for a one size fits all answer. And, any of you that have been listening for a while, have been a part of my world for a while, know that I'm very anti one size fits all. And I can say that because, you know, I have a lot of different clients that have a lot of, that are in a lot of different places from a fitness perspective, that are in different places as far as what goals they're working towards. I have clients that run, walk, nothing wrong with that. I have a client or actually she just took a little pause because she's got some other health concerns she needs to address, but I have a client who's strictly walk. She doesn't run at all. She just walks, but she wants to train and wants to do races as a walker. So we're working towards those goals. Obviously I have clients that are runners that are trying to qualify for Boston or train for PRs and new distances and longer races and all of the things. So to think that, that there's a go-to workout for all of those people, I just, you know, it might sound cliche, but I just don't think that's proper. That's not something that I want to, that I think I do. That said, there's a lot of carryover and overlap for all of the different runners that I work with, whether it's the OCR runners that I have or the ultra marathoners or anything in between. And so I think that to try to answer your question as best as I can, Heath, without completely dodging it, I would say that the short interval or short high intensity interval runs are kind of a go-to. Pretty much everybody gets something along those lines, whether it's walk faster and then walk slower, you know, maybe done on the treadmill so that for 30 seconds you up the intensity a little bit, or maybe up the incline and then ramp it back down. Whether it's, you know, a hard minute sprint, minute recovery, minute sprint, minute recovery, you know, 1 minute speed repeats, maybe it's quarter mile repeats. But pretty much everybody, runner, walker, ultra runner, OCR athlete, whatever, everybody can benefit from going hard once in a while. And again, to go back to the previous question about slow down more, you know, the easy days should go easy, but the hard days, you should hammer it. So on those hard days, you know, I try to push my clients to really get after it. And it's a lot harder for them, I think, to sandbag it if we're doing something short and fast than like if I give them a, you know, mile repeats or 2 mile repeats or a tempo run. It's a little bit easier to maybe not push it quite to the level on those days. We still do those workouts on occasion, some more regularly than others, but the short, hard, fast, we do those a lot. And so that would probably be, you know, I don't have a specific, it's always this distance or this duration, but that short, hard, fast, I hope that's a good enough answer for you, Heath, because that's kind of a fairly regular, you know, every couple of weeks at least, probably we try to get one of those in, and just hammer it. And that's, you know, that's where a lot of the speed gains come from. So the next question comes from, let me switch windows here. The next question comes from Heather and says, suggestions for preparing for a relay. Seems like a somewhat different animal than the typical race. And she says that she's doing a Ragnar in May and is just not exactly sure what to expect. So Heather, I've never done a Ragnar, but I've coached people that have, and I've talked to people that have done, I don't know if I've, some of my running friends do a relay race just about every year down in the Keys. I don't think it's a Ragnar event, but it's the same thing, obviously, sitting in a van and somebody goes out and runs and then they get to whatever distance and they tag the next person in and repeat and repeat and repeat from Key Largo to Key West. When it comes to training, I think that there's two things that that you should do. I'm going to go with maybe the more obvious first and then maybe the one that's maybe a little bit more easily overlooked. So the obvious one would be to you know, you have to get used to running and then resting for a while and then running again. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do a run and then just go sit in your car all kind of curl up in a ball for 6 or 8 hours and then go run again. You can deal with that on race day, you know, but you know, from sitting in the van. But you know, definitely the idea of maybe doing some doubles or doing a night run, you know, an evening run on a Friday or a Saturday evening, go to bed and then get up early and run again on Sunday. So either run or, you know, in the next morning. So either run in the morning, then run in the evening, or run in the evening, go to bed, wake up and go run and ride again first thing in the morning. So you kind of have that short turnaround, that 8 to 10 to 12 hour difference between your two runs. And if you really want to go over and above, you know, do a morning, evening, morning type of thing where you're running three times and, you know, basically in 24 hours of, you know, 5 or 6 miles, because that's typically, I think most of the Ragnar type of distances are somewhere in that neighborhood. If you know what your legs are going to look like, you know, you can really customize it and tweak it to pretty much exactly what your race day experience is going to look like. Now, is it going to be the same? No, but it's going to give you a good idea of how your body feels after, you know, doing a run and then 6 or 8 or 10 hours later doing another one. So you have a little bit of an idea of what to expect on race day. That said, I think the more overlooked answer to your question and probably the better answer to your question is to just make sure that your fitness is good in general. Make sure that you're running consistently, training regularly, listening to your body, fueling well. You know, if you do that, if you're taking care of yourself and you've got a good base of fitness, like you'll be fine running three times in a day and a half. You know, yeah, the second run, the third run, it's going to be maybe a little bit slower. You're going to have a little bit of stiffness. It's going to take you a little bit longer to loosen up and to warm up and to kind of get into, you know, into the zone, to kind of find your stride and just settle in and relax and enjoy your run. But you'll get there if you've got that base of fitness. You know, if you're running consistently, running regularly, running smart, not running too hard, but listening to your body, all of those things. You know, if you're just in good general fitness, you'll be fine. Now, if your team is really trying to race it really hard, then maybe then probably doing the doubles would be a little bit more important. But if you're just look out there to have fun and you want to survive it and not be too sore afterwards, you know, the biggest and best thing you can do is just focus on improving your fitness, focus on taking care of your body, get those regular training miles in between now and the race in May. And then just have fun. You're going to have fun, be with a bunch of people, hopefully some people that, you know, probably make some new friends and, you know, it'll be all good. So hopefully that helps for you, Heather. And looking forward to continuing to, you know, hear how things are going and can't wait to hear how the race goes later in May. Next question. We're about half-ish way through, maybe not quite halfway yet. Not a ton of questions today, 9 or 10, but it's a good number for a Q&A, especially around the holidays. Next question comes from Michelle and says, I pulled a groin muscle, my right side, no running for me right now. Should I just concentrate on strength training? Anything I should not do? Elliptical? I have a half marathon on January 14th. So, you know, this question was submitted about a week ago, and now here we are about 2 weeks out from the race. Michelle, it's a tough one. It's a tough one, obviously. I think that the biggest thing that you need to do is maybe reassess your goals for the half marathon. I'm not going to say 100% that you shouldn't or can't do your race on the 14th, but if you had planned to run it hard, if you had planned to really push yourself, race hard, maybe try for a new PR or something along those lines, probably want to give up that idea, for now. Muscle injuries, soft tissue injuries are tricky. They'll hurt like crazy and then they'll start to feel pretty good and you'll think, man, maybe I'm healed. Maybe I'm good to go. And then you start to ramp up the intensity again and boy, it's real common for those things to re-aggravate and come back. And, that's probably the last thing that you want to deal with. And certainly on race day, you don't want to have, a re-aggravation on race day. So the first thing I would tell you to do is to really maybe just, you know, hopefully still be able to run it. Hopefully it improves enough that you're able to do it, but it needs to be just a casual, easy, not hard at all game plan for your race. I don't think that, you know, 3 weeks out, if it was pulled and you're not able to run, it's probably not going to heal enough that in 3 weeks you're going to be able to really race hard. Now that said, in the meantime, what can you do to try to give yourself your best chance to get through the race and enjoy yourself and not make it any worse for the wear after, you know, once you get to the finish line? You know, from a fitness perspective, jump on the bike if that doesn't bother it. Maybe the elliptical. If that doesn't bother it, you can do it. Anything that you can do that doesn't cause pain or, you know, irritate that area, it's okay to keep doing that. Probably keep the intensity a little bit lower, at least at first, and ease into it. If it feels good and it warms up, you know, you can dial it up a little bit, but don't push your luck. Don't test it a bunch. Not much for stretching, because a pulled muscle or a strained muscle, that's just an overstretch. So you don't want to stretch that area while it's still tender and healing, because you're just going to re-aggravate it. You're just going to re-tear that tissue that's trying to heal together. So we don't want to do much stretching there. You know, a couple things that might help: massage, foam rolling on your inner thigh. It doesn't feel good. It hurts when you're healthy. It's going to hurt even more when your body's healing. But that massage work will definitely help speed up the healing process. Maybe some acupuncture if you have an acupuncturist in your area, or somebody that you're if you're into that sort of Chinese medicine type of thing. Acupuncture is a great way to kind of stimulate the blood flow and get things going and moving and hopefully healing in that area. But the biggest thing with a muscle pull, any muscle, groin, hamstring, calf, quad, whatever, you just got to be patient, and it sucks. And that patience, it takes longer than you want. Anything that you can do that's easy that doesn't aggravate it is probably okay, but you really want to be cautious with the intensity. So no strength training, or at least very minimal. Anything that doesn't hurt that area is probably okay, but anything, you know, lunges, probably not. Squats, maybe, but maybe not. You just want to let that area rest and recover, and then, you know, then rehab it once things are feeling good and you can start building that strength back up. So probably not the answer you wanted, Michelle. Sorry, but it's definitely the right course of action to be cautious and with a muscle injury and allow your body to do its thing. And it takes a little bit of time. You know, get plenty of sleep, eat well, stay hydrated, all those things that are going to help our bodies to function better. That'll help speed up the process, but it's still a process, and there's not a whole lot you can do to just rapidly speed that up without really running the risk of re-aggravation and re-injury, which is not the best situation, obviously. Next question comes from my friend Eric Dieter. Eric's back into running recently, and we originally connected in a business group, the old Next Level Society from a few years back. Glad you're back into getting into the running world again, Eric. That's awesome. And I'm excited for your question today. It says, have you heard of Qi running? If so, do you know anyone who's been doing it for a while? And again, if so, what do they have to say pro and con about it? So, this is going to sound maybe a little bit jaded, Eric, and anyone listening who's a big Qi running fan, I don't mean to offend. Qi running is great. I mean, I don't have anything wrong with Qi running. The ideas of it, the principles of it, it's just a sound running form. You know, the ideas and principles put your body in a good position to minimize the wear and tear, to minimize the pounding forces of running, and really, you know, kind of help your body to do what, for the most part, most anthropologists, I think, believe that the running, you know, I mean, running was a big thing that kept us alive and has gotten us to this point in our lives. And so you get your body in a good form, good position, and Qi running does that. It helps. If you want a bit more about it or an example of somebody who's done it and really raves about it, episode 416, disruns.com/416, or just scroll back about 100 episodes in your podcast feed there and my chat with Eric Collard, who's a Qi running instructor, former football player, bad knees, couldn't run, found Qi running and now runs pretty much pain-free and enjoys it. And he's a big fan. And this is where kind of the controversy of my statement might come in. The people who love Qi running are like, I mean, they've drunk the Kool-Aid. They are all in. Like Qi running fixes everything from bad form to every running injury. Everything can possibly that could ever go wrong can be prevented if you just adhere to Qi running principles. Yeah, man, not so much. But then on the other side of the coin, there's a lot of people that are just like, man, cheat running, what a joke, blah, 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 blah. It's useless. Man, that's not quite it either. Good form is good form. And a lot of the things in cheat running of having a forward lean, of not overstriding, of keeping your head up and looking forward, all of those things are good form. I kind of feel like cheat running and that whole thing, they just kind of put a label on it and marketed what good running form is. And that's fine. And it helps people. And if you're worried about your form or if you're having some really, you know, aches and pains in your knees and your hips and things like that, then maybe your form could use some work, and cheat running might be something that would help with that. But I don't think it's necessarily the end all be all. Like, if you're not doing it, you're stupid. Like, it is what it is. It's good. It's a good way to help make sure you're having good form. And that's the most important thing, but it's not a miracle cure. It's not going to solve every possible running issue ever out there. But it's a good place to start. And it's, like I said, good running form is good running form. And that's the name of the game. Another plug for another book that I'm a big fan of, probably more so than I am chi running, is Your Best Stride, written by Jonathan Beverly. Had him on the show recently as a best of, or not as a best of, but as a round two. But also his original episode, I don't have the number offhand, but it's not too long ago, maybe in the 450s, 460s, somewhere in there. We talked all about that book, Your Best Stride, and just how everybody's stride is going to be a little bit different. So don't try to feel like you have to have, I have to do this, or this to have a good stride. Everybody's going to be a little bit different, but the principles, again, the tenets of good running form, good running mechanics, they go across all different, you know, miracle cures, if you will. And which I think is kind of where I see chi running. It's good. It's helpful, but it's not the end all be all in my professional or semi-professional or unprofessional, however you want to look at it, opinion. So great question, Eric, and hopefully you know, things are going well for you. I know you've got some big goals this year. Can't wait to see how things go for you, my friend. Next question comes from Robert and says, wow, I just slipped down some steps and hurt my hip. Kind of a long question. I realize it's important to take care of your feet, because he says feet were kind of dry and just kind of slipped due to the colder weather. Blah, 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 blah. Where was I? So what do you do to take care of your feet and how to maintain them? Do you moisturize them, regularly get a massage, take a pumice stone or a cheese grater to the calluses? What do you do to keep them neat, supple, and tidy? Robert, you're asking the wrong person this question, my friend, because I would give Frodo Baggins a run for his money as far as who has the uglier feet. I definitely have hobbit feet. There's not a whole lot of question there. My feet are scaly and crackly and dry. And I don't care. I don't do anything. I mean, I wear, you know, for what it's worth, I wear sandals 365 days a year. I only wear shoes when I run. If I can get away with not wearing shoes ever again, other than when I'm running, like that's my default. So they're not pretty. Every once in a while, I'll take one of the callus shavers that has the razor blade in it and slice down if a callus is getting kind of unruly. But for the most part, I mean, the calluses are there to protect your feet. You know, they cover up friction points, prevent blisters. You know, as long as they don't get too big to where the callus starts rubbing underneath it, you know, it's not a bad thing to have a callus there. So I kind of keep it trimmed up a little bit. But other than that, I don't do very much. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting a pedicure regularly or getting a massage, things like that. But I don't worry too much about it. My feet take care of me. I take care of them. What I would say when it comes to taking care of your feet, however, it's probably more important to worry about things like stretching them, massaging your plantar fascia to keep plantar fasciitis from building up, doing some strengthening exercises, walking on your toes, walking on your heels, balancing on when you're barefoot, things like that, that force the muscles and the tendons in your feet to stretch and to work and to constrict and relax, so that when you're running, that those muscles in your arch and in your feet are supporting your body and doing what they're supposed to do. That is much more of a concern of mine than how my feet look, how pretty, or in my case, not pretty they are. You know, keep the toenails trimmed up, keep the calluses from piling up, and whatever. That's all I do. So it doesn't help your question at all, I don't think. But if I could redirect, take care of your muscles, stretch, massage, things like that. Strength train your feet. Walk on your tiptoes, flex and contract your toes, things like that, where you're forcing those muscles to contract in your feet. And that's going to help you prevent the running injuries and things like that. And then when you're going down the stairs, just, you know, use the handrail. Use the handrail, Robert, so you don't slip and fall and bruise your hip, because that's no fun for anyone, certainly. But hope the hip feels better. and hope that you're pain-free to start off 2018, my man. Next question comes from Adu, who says, hello and happy holidays. So here is my question. Trying to figure out my next goal for the marathon, I went from a 3:44 in March to a 3:32 in December. Quite the jump, a 12-minute improvement in 9 months. Congratulations. He says he finished the last one strong, and in fact, the last 5K were under goal pace mostly, ran by feel for the most part. So I'm undecided if I should train for a 3:15. Would that be too much? Do you think, or do you have any tips on a workout I can do to assess my goal? Thank you. It's a really good question to do, and there's a few different ways I thought about answering this. I don't think that there's necessarily like some workout you can do to be like, all right, so the thing that comes to mind, and I don't know if this is in your mind or not, but the Yasso 800s where, when Bart Yasso, it kind of has this workout that he's famous for as a predictor for the marathon. So the idea is, I think it's 16, 800 meter repeats. If you can do those in your goal time. So in this case, you're thinking about, should I do a 3:15 marathon? Well, if you could do whatever it is, 12 or 16, you have to Google it. But if you could do that many repeats of the 800 meters in 3 minutes and 15 seconds with 3 minutes and 15 seconds rest in between them, then he would say that's a good predictor that you're fit to do a marathon in that time. I don't know that I buy it. I don't know that I believe that's a good apples to apples comparison, because you're not going to be running your marathon at that type of pace that it takes to run, a 3:15, half mile. So I don't know if I buy that, but that's one option. I think that my better suggestion, even though it's not going to give you a good answer quickly, is to maybe once a month ish, do some type of longer, workout, maybe it's like a time trial, a 10 mile time trial or a 15 mile time trial, where you can kind of gauge how that is improving over time. So if you don't have something like that you can measure on now, maybe start that in the new year of, at the beginning of the month, the middle of the month or whatever, I'm always going to do the same 10 mile route, 15 mile route, 12 mile route, whatever, the same route. I'm always going to do the same route and try to run it at about the same level of effort and see what your time is doing. They should, obviously, if your fitness is improving, it should get a little bit faster. And that'll give you an idea. Are you trending in the right direction? Are you getting closer to that type of marathon pace? Or maybe do it, maybe try to do it at the marathon pace. So if you needed to run, I don't know what the numbers are offhand. I don't have my chart in front of me, but whatever it is for a 3:15, maybe, quick math, 9:08, maybe about a 7 minute or a 6:45 pace, something like that. I might be close. If you had to do that, can you run that pace for 10 miles and see how it feels, and then a month later, do it again. And it should be a little bit easier or something like that, where you can measure kind of apples to apples. Are we moving in the right direction? And then another thing you could do is maybe plug that information into a pace predictor. If I ran a 10 miles in 74 minutes, so what would that be my pace predictor over the course of a marathon? And that'll tell you if you're moving in the right direction or not. Again, if you do that same workout, same course, over time, you'll see if you're moving in the right direction. And you all know where I stand on pace predictors. I'm not the biggest fan, but in this instance, it gives you an idea if you're moving in the right direction, and maybe gives you some confidence that the 3:15 is within reach. I mean, it's a big jump from 3:32 to 3:15, but shoot, stranger things have happened. So, start working towards it and see how things go. Hopefully, you have an epic start to 2018 there, Adu, and maybe this time next year it'll be, I'm thinking about going sub-3. What do you think? And my answer will probably be about the same. Keep working towards it and see what happens. But congratulations on a great 2017 and all the best for the new year as well. Two questions left. The next one comes from Kevin, who asks if I'm familiar with the Maffetone method. He says, is this a lifelong method or just something to build aerobic base? I understand it recommends to follow for months until you reach a plateau, but what about a year or so down the road? And do you know how long does it take to actually get to the plateau? He says, it's frustrating running slow all the time. Kevin, you're right. It is kind of frustrating to slow down a little bit. I'm becoming more and more of a believer in the power of running easy. I don't like to call it running slow, but running easy pace, where your body's not working too hard and really allowing yourself to build that aerobic base. And if you're doing it consistently, you should notice that you're getting faster while running at the same level of effort. So hopefully if you're into the Maffetone method, Kevin, and you've been doing it for a while, you've got your heart rate monitor, you're keeping track of your heart rate while you're running. And you know, whatever your maximum is, you're staying underneath that level. So you're staying in the aerobic, the aerobic range of training. And, one thing that I have read and learned from the Primal Endurance book that I read, and it's really kind of refocused me on the idea of running easy most of the time, is the idea of doing the MAF test, which is you know, part of the Maffetone method, of every 4 weeks or so, every month or so, you do the same route, kind of exactly what I was just suggesting with the do. You do the same route and you keep your heart rate at the same level, and you should be faster if things are going well month after month. If things aren't going well, you need to readdress or reassess. Do you need to get more sleep, more rest, what is going on? But that should pick up a little bit every month. So, if you're doing 4 miles, 5 miles, whatever, go out and so for me, I just did my first one, at the beginning of December. So about 3.5, I'm actually gonna do my next one, my round two, on New Year's Day. So it'll be 4 weeks between them. So what I did was I went out and did a good warm up of about a little over a mile. And got to a part in my neighborhood where I reset my watch and said, all right, this is where I'm starting my MAF test. And I did a route through the neighborhood that I can easily repeat any time of day, any day of the week, any time of year, through my neighborhood that ends up back at my house at 4 miles, 4.04 miles from my driveway. Follow this route, get right back to my driveway. And I can't remember the exact number offhand. I think I was at, but my heart rate range was between 138 beats per minute and 141 beats per minute. And I tried, I was watching my watch a little more closely than I normally would, but staying within that range, ended up back at the house in like 41, 42 minutes, something like that. I ended up being pretty close to 10 minute pace throughout. Now I'm excited to do this again in a couple of days and see if, I should have hopefully have improved by 15 or 20 seconds for that run. If so, then my easy running is working because I'm staying at that same level of effort. My heart rate monitor and my heart rate settings are going to be the same, but I ran the route faster. So that means we're moving in the right direction. And I'll do that again in another, few weeks and it should creep up again. But with the Maffetone, with the straight Maffetone method, you're never really running hard except for on race day. With my modification, the kind of the Primal Endurance method and just my own personal, I can't just run easy all the time, is a couple times a month I'm going to do a hard workout. But when I go hard, I'm going to freaking go hard. I talked earlier about, and in Heath's question about the intervals and the speed workouts, things like that. Like when I go hard, I'm going to go, but when I'm not, I'm going easy. And so, stick with it. I know it can be frustrating, but it really does work if you're consistent and disciplined to not push your pace. So if you're trying to do it without a heart rate monitor, probably not the best bet. Get that heart rate monitor. Listen to what your body's telling you or what your body's telling the heart rate monitor. Working too hard today, back it down a little bit. And there's some days that I find myself, I'm running kind of fast, but my heart rate is low. We're doing good. All right, keep cruising. And there's some days that it feels ridiculously slow, but my heart rate's up too much. Maybe it's too much coffee. Maybe I'm dehydrated, whatever it is. All right, body's working too hard. Got to back it down. But it works. You just got to, I know it's frustrating. I know it seems like you're not getting anywhere, but I promise you, you're building that base. It's going to allow you to really start growing, start getting faster. If you just stay consistent with it. So hopefully that all makes sense. I know that's kind of rambling, but I'm really looking forward to learning a lot more about heart rate method, studying some Maffetone stuff and just easy running in 2018. And I'll continue to kind of share what I know. And if you have other questions, Kevin, please let me know. And I'll continue to try to help continue to learn for myself and also learn for you and anyone else that has questions about easy running Maffetone style in 2018 and beyond. So last question. Kind of teased you on this one a little bit earlier, but it comes from Brian. He says, run streak challenge time of year. What are your thoughts? I have tried and done streaks before. My longest was 6 weeks, but then I started doing too many 1 mile runs just to keep it official when I should have just taken a rest day so I can then put in a real workout or run in, coming off of a rest day. Yeah, Brian, I pretty much, I kind of already, I think, have hinted at this. I've talked about it before. I completely agree with what your end statement there is that, we need our rest days. I think that running streaks, they don't work for me. I've tried them before and it's just, I just need a break. I need that regular time to just recharge, to let my mind not have to worry about running for a day or two. And I don't know, maybe that makes me less of a runner to some people, but, kind of like you said, when you're just doing that 1 mile just to keep the streak alive, like, what are you gaining from that? You're not really gaining anything physically. You're going through the motions just to get that mile. So what? So you can brag on Facebook or brag on Instagram that I'm at a 4,000 day run streak? Like, okay. I mean, congratulations. It's awesome. But in my mind, there's no gain to it. So I'm pretty much anti run streak. Maybe for a challenge, like I'm gonna run every day this month, just to challenge myself to mix it up a little bit. Like, all right, whatever, go for it. But I just don't understand the idea of I'm gonna run every day this year and then continue on for the next year. And especially when everybody gets to that point where it's like, oh, shit, I have to run today. It's 10 o'clock at night. It's been a busy day. I haven't had a chance to run, but I got to run a mile through the airport to get my mile in. Or I got to run a mile before bed real quick, because otherwise, oh my God, I'll miss my day. So what? So freaking what? I don't get run streaks. They're not for me. If they're for you, more power to you. Rock on. Do your thing. But I don't think they're useful. I think 99.9% of us are better off having the day off on a consistent basis, allowing our bodies to recover, refresh, rejuvenate, and then go into the next workout rested, ready to go, hit it hard, and really gain from it. So that's my take on run streaks, Brian. Kind of feel like maybe you're in that same position, but it also kind of sounds like maybe you're thinking about doing another one this year. So if you do it, go for it, but it's not something that is recommended. That's for sure. But anyway, that's it for the questions today. Hopefully that was all right. Thank you to everyone who submitted their questions. Hopefully the answers helped. And once again, if you're not part of the Facebook group yet, we do a lot more there than just post the Q&A questions. There's stuff going on just about every day. I try to keep posting stuff all the time and keep the conversations going. And a lot of folks use the group as an accountability thing as well. Thinking about Angela, thinking about Isla. Definitely are two folks that come to mind that are fairly regularly posting there, like, hey, I went out and did my run today. Isla's always talking about her Zero Dark 30 runs in Chicago when it's negative wind chills, and she's out there with her group doing getting their miles in. And if you think that might help you stay accountable, especially in the new year getting going, come join the group and post that kind of stuff. We love it. We're all for it. Post up your stuff, ask your questions, whatever's going on. Dizruns.com/Facebook will take you right there. And if you're on Facebook, just search for the Dizruns tribe, click to join, and we'll get you in there in the next, usually pretty quick. We'll get you approved and jump into the conversation, crack some jokes, have some fun, post some memes. And speaking of memes, dizruns.com/511 is the show notes for today's episode. Check out the memes there and the GIFs, or the GIFs if you like to say it wrong. If you like to say it incorrectly, you can call them GIFs, but I'm going to call them GIFs because, and don't argue with me. We'll just tomato, tomato this one. All right. But you can check out the memes. I think we got some good ones today. I made up one, created two of them, actually. Got a little bit of Seinfeld on here. We got some Napoleon Dynamite going on. We got all kinds of things. Dizruns.com/511. And while you're there, you can also leave some comments. What do you think about my answers this month? Were they good? Were they bad? Do you disagree? Do you need further clarification? Leave those in the comments. And you can also always find me on the Twitters at Dizruns and email dizruns@gmail.com. If you have any further updates, questions, concerns, things like that you want from me, just drop me a line anytime, and I'll happily get back to you, usually within the next 12 to 24 hours, but sometimes it lingers on for a day or two, but I'll get back to you. My inbox is a mess, but I'll do my best to stay in touch. But anyway, thank you. As we're wrapping up today, it's been a great year. It's been a great year for me on the show. I hope that you've enjoyed the continued growth and evolution and things that are going on with the show. Got some new things, some new ideas, some same old tried and true planned for the new year. And we'll talk a little bit more about those next week, and I'll kind of give you a little hint of what might be in store for the new year. But as always, we're just going to kind of continue to keep going, keep trying to grow, keep trying to get better, keep trying to bring you more and more value, more, entertaining interviews and useful quick tips and all those types of things. But, thank you for listening. Thanks for subscribing to the show. Thanks for telling people about it. Thanks for all you do to support the show, support what we're doing, and thanks for being part of my world, my tribe, my group of runners. I really do appreciate it. Hope you've had a great 2017. If it's been great, let's keep it going to 2018. If it hasn't been the best year for you, hey, we got a fresh start on Monday. The new year comes. Let's start fresh. Let's kick the new year off well. And with that in mind, if you want some ideas for kickstarting your new running year, join me next week. Timely announcement here, but the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of January, we're doing webinars each night at 8 o'clock Eastern time. But you can get signed up and registered all over at dizruns.com/bestyear. One word, BESTYEAR. Talking about goal setting, talking about kind of setting yourself up for success and talking about the actual process of getting from where you are to where you want to be. One of those topics each night. But I hope you'll join us. And if you have other questions, obviously let me know. But thanks for listening. I'm not going anywhere, so I'll see you guys in 2018. And hope you have a happy and safe new year. And let's start 2018 with a bang, shall we? But until then, please be well, take care, and talk soon. See you guys.